Can you give Kyra another hand? Thank you for that message, and thank you, Mission WMU members, GAs, mission friends, others, leaders for leading us in worship today. I want to read from James chapter 1, verse 22 through verse 27 from the New International Version. The text says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that our God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." The word of the Lord. Faith that acts. I really like the theme for today, Sister Ellison. With all that's going on around us in Afghanistan, in Europe, in Haiti, in the Gulf, with floods and wildfires, with this pandemic, the people of God cannot become so insulated and so isolated that we fail to heed our calling to be the presence of Christ in the world. Our calling as people of God reflects our connection to God. And I'm glad that Kyra started with God and having God in your heart, because the notion of service and the notion of giving originate with God. In the first chapter of James, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Giving and serving begin with God. God is the source of every gift and every generous act. Kyra talked about random acts of kindness flowing from us, but every random act of kindness comes from God. God is the original giver. And God chooses to give life to the world. God chooses to give us spiritual life through Jesus Christ. So the concept of giving comes from God. And because the Christian life, because your life as a child of God flows from God, an authentic Christian life will be a life of active service and giving. Yes. If you want to be an authentic, a real Christian, you are giving and serving with your life. This letter of James contains a lot of advice and exhortations about living this Christian faith. The first chapter talks about temptation, perseverance, and wisdom. And it talks about what it really means to be an authentic Christian. And the point of the writer is, faith ought to have an effect. Faith ought to have an effect. Faith should produce deeds that are consistent with that faith. And so the writer looks at a couple of things in this chapter. He looks at the nature of Christian speech, what we say, and he looks at the nature of Christian behavior, how we live and how we act. And his point is, faith ought to produce an effect. If you have faith, there ought to be an effect from that faith. If you have faith, there should be results from that faith. And that's why I'm talking about faith that acts. Serving others results from faith that acts as the Word of God prescribes. And I like this passage because it helps us to see the value of living this authentic life. And it begins by teaching us that being engaged, being active in your faith, really keeps you on point as a Christian. Because the text says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Because anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed by what they do. So when you are engaged, when you are actively engaged in your faith, that action helps to keep you on point as a Christian. Clearly, we can look at ourselves in the mirror and remember what we look like. So what the writer says doesn't really make sense here. If you look in the mirror and you turn away, you forget. You can look at yourself in the mirror and remember what you look like. You might not like what you see, but you can remember what you see. We might have some special lighting or a trick mirror. My wife got a special kind of mirror that she uses for her makeup. It got all kind of lights on it. And when you get in front of that mirror, you see every little knot and whatever on your face. You might have a lighting, special mirror with lighting, a trick mirror that makes you look different than you really look. But when you look, you can remember what you see. Some of us have to have special mirrors because some mirrors make you look bigger, some mirrors make you look smaller. But you can still remember what you see when you look. But the writer is suggesting that images can be fleeting and they can leave us. Unless we stay in front of the mirror, the image we see in the mirror will eventually leave us. The writer is talking about engagement. We have to be actively engaged in our faith in order to stay on point. When we stop action, when we stop acting as a Christian, sometimes we forget who we are as people of God. Our actions, our faith actions, help to keep our values in front of us and help to keep us focus. I tell you, if you're doing some work for the Lord and you're doing it constantly, it's difficult to forget that you are a child of God. But when you're not doing anything, it's easy to forget who you are. So keep being engaged and being active helps to keep you focused. And then he also says you've got to learn from the teachings of Christ. That's what he calls that perfect law, and glean those principles of faith that you should follow. So principles like obedience to God's word, principles like getting a handle on our speech, on what we say and do, continuing those actions help to keep us on point. Acts of service to others keep us on point. When I was a teenager, I had a 10-speed bike, you know, in one of these big old Schwinn bikes. It was a blue bike. I loved that bike. 10-speed bike, and I rode it everywhere, all over the neighborhood, out of the city, in the city. I rode it, and I enjoyed it, and I was good with riding this bike. In fact, after I came home from college and got married, I bought another 10-speed bike and rode it during the first years of my marriage. I was so good with riding that I usually rode without holding on to the handlebars. And I had those handlebars that were straight, and the hands curved under, so you had to crouch like that, and you'd be going with your bike. And I could sit up, and I wouldn't hold on, and I'd be riding all over with no hands on the bike. I knew how to manage the curves. I knew how to manage the bumps. I knew how to manage the inclines. I knew how to manage the declines. I was good on that bike. And I still know how to ride a bike. I know how to get on it. I know how to make it start, get it going, and I know how to make it stop. But it's been years since I've been on a bike. And because I haven't been actively engaged, my skill level is diminished and my fear level has increased. You don't realize how high up you are on the bike until you get into your 50s and 60s. And you say, oh, I'm way up there. So when I fall, I'm going to fall way down there. And if I want to get back on my bicycle, it will take time. It will take effort. It will take me working up my skill level so I don't fall on the inclines and I don't fall over the bumps. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the same thing it is with our faith. When you are actively engaged in your faith, it keeps you on point. It keeps you focused. It keeps you, it helps you to be well-oiled. That's what the writer is saying. Faith that acts helps to keep you engaged. It keeps you on point as a Christian. And then he talks about acting in behalf of vulnerable groups. As the text says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's what Kyra was talking about, serving others, acting in behalf of others, doing for others. The writer lists two vulnerable groups. He talks about widows. He talks about orphans. And of course, this letter of James is written to the church. So the writer, when he talks about widows and orphans, references the widows and orphans in the church among the people of God. He has in mind believers who are a part of the fellowship. We ought to act and care for those persons. But the principle is still important, that those persons whose backs are against the wall, those who need help and need advocacy, should capture the attention of the people of God. We are called to respond to the vulnerable groups in society. Not just widows, not just orphans, but to vulnerable groups all around. Perhaps that's what the writer has in mind in Exodus 22, 21 through 23, when he says, "Do not mistreat or oppress a foreigner, for you were foreigners in Egypt. Do not take advantage of the widow or the fatherless. If you do and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry." Here again, this principle of caring for vulnerable groups originates with God. God is concerned about vulnerable populations. Authentic faith is faith that acts on behalf of vulnerable populations. And we know there are vulnerable populations everywhere. The people of Haiti never fully recovered from the earthquake 11 years ago. Today they are trying to dig out of another one. The people in the Gulf states have been inundated with storms, with floods, and with disasters. We don't know how bad it is till we get out of here, turn the television on, and find out what Hurricane Ida has done in that region of the country. It's headed to Tennessee, that state that is still reeling from the deadly floods that captured several lives last week. And in this hurricane, at 150 plus miles per hour, is going to cause flooding and devastation and make people vulnerable. Do you not know that Hurricane Katrina occurred 16 years ago and people in the lower Ninth Ward still haven't moved back in? Less than 40% of the residents who lived in the lower Ninth Ward pre-Katrina have not moved back in. And you're hearing people say, well, move out. The officials are saying, go to higher ground. Not everybody has a car. Not everybody has the money to leave out and to go to higher ground. Not everybody can get away from the devastation. They are vulnerable groups all around us. And then this mask mandate, talking about it all over the country and all over the world, highlights the critical divide in this country. And in the midst of all this insanity is a vulnerable population: our unvaccinated children. Faith that acts has to work on behalf of vulnerable populations. Somebody has to stand up and have the sense to say, well, we might not want to be vaccinated. We might not want to wear masks, but our children are around us. Our grandchildren are around us. We've got to do something for them. So faith that acts in behalf of vulnerable populations. This isn't on my paper, and I'm trying to wrap it up. I did get up late, but I don't wrap it up. When you want to act, we're in the lull between election seasons. But you can't let the lull you to sleep. You've got to be registered to vote, and you've got to vote all the time. Because it's times like this when the folk we put in office matter because they impact vulnerable populations. Just wait till the president election comes around. Start voting now. Start getting the right folk in office and putting the wrong folk out of office, because we need good decisions in behalf of vulnerable populations. One more thing and I'm done. So being engaged, being active with your faith serving keeps you on point. And God calls us to act on behalf of vulnerable populations. And this passage, and it says a lot more than I've shared here. This passage talks about being blessed and being kept. And I want to combine two phrases in this passage that are important as it relates to faith that acts. The text says that if you give and do what you hear, you will be blessed in your doing. The Bible says they will be blessed in what they do. And then it goes on to say that the thing that you should do after you take care of the widows and the orphans is to keep yourself from being polluted by the world. To keep yourself from being polluted. But King James, I think, says unspotted by the world. I want to combine those two. Being kept, being blessed, and being kept. There are many blessings that flow out of an authentic Christian life. when you are engaged in your faith, when you actively put in the time, you are blessed with growth, with strength, with wisdom and grace. Beloved, if you put time in with God, and you put time in with the Word, and you put time in with the Spirit of God, if you put time in with prayer, you will grow. You will get stronger, and you will get wiser, and you will have the grace of God in your life. And you'll find that you can endure. And then not only are you able to take care of yourself, you're able to pour into somebody else's life. So keep on pouring into your relationship with God. When you live a life of service and work on behalf of vulnerable populations, you'll find that you get more from giving than you get from getting. And it's not just that somebody came back and sent you a card. When you see the joy on someone's face, when you see the appreciation in someone's face for the little things that you've done, that makes you feel bigger than any gift anybody else can ever give you. I tell you, if you're not feeling well one day, go to a nursing home. And just go through the nursing home, visit the residents, talk to them, and pray for them. And before you leave there, you'll be as high as the mountain because you've touched somebody's life. The simple act of kindness and caring. But then on this kept side, not only are you blessed with what you do, but kept from being polluted by the world. This faith that acts becomes a protective barrier against the polluting impacts of the world. When you start living out your faith, that faith becomes like a sieve through which you sort out and weed out all the junk that is out there. It becomes a yardstick by which you judge and measure what is right and what is wrong. There's a lot of mess being put out there on the news and in print and on social media. But when you are trusting in God, you have something that keeps you from being polluted by all that junk you hear out there. Aren't you glad that some of the junk, some of the misinformation, some of the attitudes out there have not polluted you? That some of the stuff that these knuckleheads are talking about have not polluted your house and kept you from knowing who you are and what is right and what is wrong? Amidst all the news and everything that's happening, God has kept your mind. God has kept your heart. And God has kept your spirit. I tell you, it might be good to wake up in the morning, but it's good to wake up in your right mind and to know who you are and to know what you can do. I was speaking with a young woman this past week, a millennial. She was a little disturbed about the lack of concern for the health and well-being of others by these anti-maskers. She said, I think it's part of a larger conspiracy to promote the larger culture, white culture, larger culture, and to suppress cultures and groups that are different than white folk. That's what she said. She said, I feel that impact every day. When I leave out of my house, I feel this sense of otherness in my own city and in my own country. She said, people look at me as if I don't even belong in this country, as if it's their country. And she said, what do I do with all this feeling that I'm getting, all this isolation that I'm feeling? And I told her, I said, well, first you got to know that you have worth. You've got to know that you are somebody. And stop listening to the folk on the news. Stop listening to the folk on social media. Listen to the folk in your family. Listen to the folk in your circle. Rely upon your family for strength, for validation, and for support. Stop going out of the house waiting for everybody else to give you flowers and make you feel like you're somebody. Listen to your mama who told you you look good, who told you you're smart, who told you you're somebody. I told her, don't listen to what they're saying. Trust in God. God made you, and God don't make no junk. I know that's double negative, but God don't make no junk. I told her black folk have had to exist in environments for years that were designed to destroy them and deny them their rights, but they kept on walking. They kept on praying. They kept on trusting in God. They relied upon, and I was reminded of that poem by Marion Williamson, and I wanted to share some of those words with her, our deepest fear, because I wanted to tell that young woman, this is what you need to remember when you go out there. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about your shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure about around you. Forget those other people. We are all meant to shine as children do, for we were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I'm done, beloved. But I want to tell that young woman, don't worry about what your hair looks like. You don't have to straighten your hair to be beautiful. Don't have to color your hair to be beautiful. Don't worry about the shape of your body. Worry about who's on the inside. Nobody can keep you like God can keep you. Nobody can hold you like God can hold you. Nobody can work through you like God can. Hallelujah. God is a keeper. God is a healer. God is a way maker. God is a burden bearer. God will keep you. Go out there and be the presence of Christ in the world. Wherever you are, whatever God has gifted you to do, let God use you to do it. And don't worry about what the detractors might say. No, God will hold you, and God will bless you, and God will use you. Invitation is extended at this time. Hallelujah. And we invite you to come to follow Christ with us as our deacons come forward. We extend the invitation in this sanctuary. We extend the invitation wherever you are and say to you, God is a keeper and God will keep you as you serve him through faith that acts. Oh, to be kept. Receive the benediction. Eternal, we thank you for another Lord's Day and for the blessed privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, O God, that on this day, Sister Kyra Tucker stood here and told us about having the love of God in our hearts, that it starts with God, that God gives us the right heart. And when we have God's love, we have a heart for service, to go out and serve others. Thank you for her message, oh God. Thank you for reminding us through your word that being engaged, being actively involved helps to keep us on point as Christians. And that part of our active involvement involves our acts toward vulnerable populations. We have to be concerned about persons in need of help and support. And thank you for reminding us that we are both blessed and we are kept. We're blessed when we serve. We're blessed when we invest and engage. And we're kept amidst all of it from the pollution of the world, from the impact of the world by your power. And now may the blessings of God be upon you. May God equip you with all you need to do His will. May He lead you forth with joy and sustain you by His perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ushers will help you exit by rows.